Okay, hello everybody and welcome back to Puckhorde. This is Habib, your host, and I'm very excited to introduce another episode to you. And this episode is kind of a special one, actually. Not that the others are not special, but this one I had not planned up until recently. It wasn't in my roadmap at all. The topic for this episode is cannabis and cannabis-based products like THC and CBD and all these different components, which honestly, I don't even know how to define them properly. But we will do that later on in this episode when I invite our special guest, Sabina, to talk about this, who is from Michigan, United States. She goes by the name Dr. Cannabina on Instagram, and you can follow her there. She works extensively. Her page extensively promotes and markets cannabis and cannabis-based products. And a quick look at Sabina's Instagram page will clearly reflect her passion for what she does. She has pictures of cannabis, hemp bars, books and writings and t-shirts that use words like cannabis as medicine and healing herbs, and of course a lot of selfies of her at various cannabis-based events around the country. So Sabina's Instagram does a pretty good job of reflecting what she does and what she feels passionate about. And fortunately for us, she agreed to come and educate us about this. So at this point, I'm going to let Sabina talk to us about cannabis and CBD and THC and help us define and understand them a little better. And also help us understand this from a Desi perspective, since she's a Pakistani American. So without further ado, here's Sabina.
So I'm 35 years old, Pakistani Muslim. I was born in England, but I came to the U.S. when I was just a little baby, like probably 6 months old. Lived in Michigan my whole life, except for when I was away for school, which was quite often, actually, because I traveled a lot for school. But I would say my parents are your typical Pakistani immigrants. My dad, although he grew up in England, his roots are from Africa. And then my mom is Pakistani, so he drove all the way from England to meet my mom in Pakistan. And after they had two kids in England, they decided they weren't going to immigrate and move to the U.S. So
you were born in England?
Correct.
Oh, cool. Okay. And is your father, he's from Africa. Does he have Pakistani roots or?
Yeah, no, they're Pakistani roots, but they had immigrated. That's a common immigration from, I think my dada, they work on the railroad stations out there.
Okay. No, that's really cool. So you have a pretty interesting background there.
Yeah, my dad grew up speaking Swahili. So certain things from Lion King, I already knew those words.
Wow, that's really cool.
Shinzi, I knew what Shinzi meant. And
nice.
Little words here and there. I'm like, oh man, that's Swahili. That's so cool.
That is really cool, yeah. So at this point, I asked Sabina how she got into cannabis to kick off the conversation.
I became a believer of cannabis. I would say I was the girl that was very against it. So growing up, obviously, we're all taught, you know, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, haram, don't do drugs, this is a drug. So I followed rules. And I was somebody that if I saw it, true story, someone I knew, this was like New Year's Eve, we're in Canada and I'm with a group of friends. So they lit up the J and I smacked it out of their hand and ran away crying. So I was the girl that ran away crying at like 19, but then by 20, I think 23, 24, it was first time I tried it. I was actually in medical school in the Caribbean, and I knew it had an effect on my body and a positive effect on my body if consumed correctly. So I would say as a beginner, I didn't do it correctly. And then I start to learn more and educate myself because I was like, okay, listen, Sabina, you went to medical school. You understand that this is a drug. It's going to function different. And let's learn more about this. So I did as much research as possible, started plugging myself and networking, became Dr. Cannabina on my Instagram page, started tweeting about it more, wanted Muslims to learn more about it because I saw it helping people. Through medicine, for epilepsy, for pain, for cancer, people don't want to talk about that. But even if you can't say it cures it, you can say that it helps for the side effects, like whether that be, I can't sleep at night or I don't have an appetite. So I started networking more, became a leader in the industry. You could say in so many words, especially in Michigan. At least for the Pakistani industry, like I know that many people have come up to me and said, you know,
yeah,
thank you for putting this out there. I had no idea. Or you know, I'm proud of you for doing this because I know the struggle is real. And it is, and right. I'll get to that in a minute. But to make a long story short, I did a lot of research and I switched out of medicine and I did my MBA in healthcare administration. And during my MBA, I was allowed to do a lot of my work and professional papers or presentations on cannabis. They let me even focus my thesis on cannabis, the future of cannabis in healthcare. So in that aspect, it's learn, and then try to teach others and then believe in it because you see it help other people. And I can't make up the stories that I've seen.
Wow, really? So did you go through with the medical school all the way?
No, I did 3 years. I did like a year of elective rotations, but I saw things I didn't like, and then I saw how this could help as medicine. And my main goal was to help people with medicine or in healthcare. And I can do this with cannabis. So I switched gears.
Right. You said when you used it for the first time, you mentioned maybe you weren't using it appropriately. Was that basically just using too much?
Correct. Too much, not the right strain. I only had access to one strain anyways. I didn't know what it was supposed to look like, what it was supposed to smell like. I just was very uneducated in it and let other people take control of the situation, where now there's so much more. There's videos everywhere. There's Cannabis 101.
Yeah.
It's becoming more mainstream. At the time, I would say, you know, your typical recreational users knew a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I was like a newbie. And now I would say that I'm pretty schooled and I have my research down. But now my suggestion to people would be to Google it, because honestly, you can find out everything now at the tip of our fingers, and it's there.
Yeah. I mean, what's amazing is nowadays, you don't even have to Google it to run into it in some form. I've been seeing, I think I kind of mentioned this to you, maybe over text, but over in Texas where I was living before I just moved here, there were these CBD shops just opening everywhere all of a sudden, very suddenly. And it turned out that Texas had, I don't know what I think the federal law has allowed CBD, at least.
Correct.
The state by state laws differed, and Texas actually allowed CBD about 3 months ago.
Right. And CBD is almost like a new craze, you could say, right now. And it's going to die down. And some people that are selling it are selling incorrect things that don't have doses. It's not even really CBD, or we don't know how much percentage is in it. And people are kind of falling for it, or they're just putting it in everything, which is fine. But my advice is to read it, find out how much the actual percentage is. Is it a legit company? Is it just something that, you know, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Not that a gas station couldn't have a good product. If they knew a proper vendor, they may. But it's like in Family Dollar Trees and in video stores, and it's kind of getting out of control now.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, they're putting it in everything. CBD coffee, CBD lotions. Could you explain for the audience, I guess, you would probably know and explain this much better than myself. What is CBD and what is THC?
Okay. So CBD is short for cannabidiol.
So Sabina just mentioned that CBD is cannabidiol. We forgot to mention THC. So she wanted me to fit this in, that THC is tetrahydrocannabinol.
They both come from the same marijuana plant, cannabis plant, but certain strains can be grown that are CBD dominant strains. So that flower or that strain would have a different effect on the body and the head when inhaled or consumed versus a strain that had THC in it or a product that had THC in it. So THC is the more of the head high and a body high. And then CBD, they use a term non-psychoactive, but it's more so like no head high, because I think recently, and this is forever changing, so I have to keep learning too. I think they recently retract that term too, non-psychoactive for CBD. But it won't get you high is what they want you to know. So if you're an elderly patient and you want something for pain, CBD has been significantly helping people. So specifically for inflammation and relaxation and pain, and then THC also for pain and relaxation, but the people that don't want that heavy high or head high or to interrupt maybe even their thought process or to balance out the THC, because now there's combinations. There's 1-to-1 ratios. There's 3-to-1 ratios of cannabis CBD with THC. And mm-hmm. that seems to be benefiting people a lot. So mm-hmm. In the world of cannabis, CBD and THC are both great together. I think they're even better. Mm-hmm. And then there's several other cannabinoids. So that's what they're called. THC and CBD are cannabinoids. And then mm-hmm. the cannabis plant itself probably has over 100. We just mm-hmm. haven't studied them all or figured out what they all are. I've learned about CBG and CBN and THCV and THCA. They're all different in structure and medicinal benefits. Some are specific for inflammation. Other, it's a good, you know, relaxation. Like CBN can help you fall asleep. And CBG, I just learned, is like the most expensive, and I don't want to misspeak, but I want to say the precursor of cannabinoids. So yeah. I'm learning more and more, even about the different cannabinoids, and it's forever growing. And I think because it's so new that we're all just waiting for these scientists to continue research and developing right. More knowledge and education for us to learn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I find it really funny and really interesting that, like you mentioned, there's more than about, I guess, 100 chemicals inside marijuana when you smoke it or consume it in any way. You're consuming all of those chemicals, right? And CBD is basically just one of those. And then THC is another one.
Yeah, cannabinoids. I don't know. I wouldn't say chemicals. I would say cannabinoids. Yeah.
Cannabinoids. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting to me that the FDA is kind of looking at this one by one. Obviously, they both require, and all these cannabinoids might require a lot of research. And so far, only two of those have been studied to some extent. And CBD is the one that has been fully legalized, I believe. And then THC to some limits, like some kind of a percentage.
State by state. Correct. Yeah.
Right. And then in some states, it's not allowed at all.
Correct. So currently, I think there are 11 states recreationally, plus yeah. the District of Columbia, and then 22 states medically. And Michigan is both medical and recreational, although mm-hmm. there are no storefronts currently. Soon enough, I would say within a year, we'll have that available. You can recreationally gift it to somebody. Like, you still can't get in trouble, I think, if you're 21 and you have it in your legal limits. Which yeah. is 2.5 ounces. It's a lot.
Yeah.
That's my only concern, is when recreational hits, that more people will have it available. And we have to be careful with what happens to the younger generation, because there's going to be 21-year-olds who are going to be able to have it in their hands readily.
You said you're trying to, I guess, part of your mission is to introduce us to the Pakistani community as well, right? The Pakistani community that's kind of might be a little behind in terms of getting this acceptance, right? Culturally speaking. It's funny. Yeah. I was telling you that story about just going into the CBD store, right? And I got one of the small bottle of CBD oil. I didn't actually use it until about 2 days ago for the first time. So I just kept it with me. and then I started using it, right? But my main intent was just to buy it just for the sake of it. So I took, and then I brought it home. I showed it to my mom. And, you know, I just tried to make a scene. I recorded everything, too. I was just like, hey, you know, they took this out of, you know, bhang ke pode se nikala and all that stuff. And she was, and I basically just recorded her flipping it out at me. She was just like, do you speak Punjabi, by the way?
I do.
Yeah, she went at me. She was just like, panch waqti namazan padhya kar, you know, then kitna sukoon milega, tu bhang de piche pehge, and samajh nahi sharam nahi aandi. But yeah, I got it just for that reaction. She knew I was basically... I would not, you know, get something that's going to be harmful for myself, even if it was just marijuana. So I wanted to quickly pause here and play for you guys my mom's reaction to me purchasing CBD. So, of course, she didn't really know what CBD was, but as soon as I mentioned bhang or cannabis, right, she flipped out like any Desi parent would. She gave me a piece of her mind. She's relatively religious, so she talks about praying and having iman is more important than taking any supplements or things like that that can, in her view, potentially negatively impact you. So this was during Eid. I was actually holding up a camera, so I wasn't hiding my camera. I was holding up my camera recording our whole family's events and conversations. And as part of that, I actually initiated this conversation and I brought out the CBD bottle and I gave my mom the pamphlet as well. So this is actually her reaction. I'm going to play it. There's a lot of background noise in the back, which is basically my family. I have a very large family, mashallah. And the reaction is mostly in Punjabi. So even if you don't understand Punjabi, you can still sense the anger in her voice. So it might still be worth listening to. So this is her reaction. Enjoy.
ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਨੇ ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਸੇਫ ਹੈ ਤੇ ਬੁੱਢੇ ਬੰਦੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਦਿਖਾਏ ਨੇ ਐਂਗਜ਼ਾਇਟੀ ਡਿਪਰੈਸ਼ਨ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਬਹੁਤ ਅੱਛਾ ਹੈ ਡਾਇਬੀਟੀਜ਼
ਉਹਦੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸ਼ਰਾਬ ਵੀ ਚੜਾ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਵੀ ਖੁੱਲਾ ਬਾਹਰ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਨਮਾਜ਼ ਪੜ੍ਹਨੇ ਨਾ ਨਾ ਯਾਦ ਕਰਨੇ ਇਹ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਬੜਾ ਵਾ ਨਮਾਜ਼ ਪੜ੍ਹਨ
ਉਹ ਲੀਗਲ ਹੈ
ਅਸਰ ਦੀ ਨਮਾਜ਼ ਪੜ੍ਹੋ ਨਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਸਕੂਲ
ਮੈਂ ਤੇ ਲੈ ਲਿੱਤੀ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ
ਉਧਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਜਾਣਾ ਇੱਧਰ ਜਾਣਾ ਨਸ਼ੇ ਕਰ ਲਵੋ
ਮੈਂ ਤੇ ਲੈ ਲਿੱਤੀ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ FDA ਨੇ ਅਪਰੂਵ ਕਰਤੀ ਹੈ ਤੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੀ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ
FDA ਨੇ ਅੱਲਾਹ ਦੇ ਨੇ FDA ਨੇ ਕਰ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਉਹਨੇ ਤਾਂ ਜੰਨਤ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਣ ਲੈ ਜਾਣਾ
ਹੈ FDA ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਬਾਹਰੋਂ ਚੈੱਕ ਕਰਦੇ ਨੇ
ਆਹੋ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਬਾਹਰੋਂ ਤੂੰ ਨਮਾਜ਼ਾਂ ਪੜ੍ਹਦਾ ਪੰਜ ਮਿੰਟ ਦੱਸੀ ਸਕੂਲ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਕਿ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ
ਜਿਹੜੇ ਨਮਾਜ਼ ਪੰਜ ਵਕਤ ਦੀ ਪੜ੍ਹਦੇ ਨੇ ਉਹ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਜ਼ਿਆਦਾ ਬੇਸਕੂਲ ਨੇ
ਕੋਈ ਬੇਸਕੂਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਾਰੀ ਉਲਾਦ ਅਮੀਰ ਹੋ ਗਈ ਬਗੈਰਤ ਹੋ ਗਈ
ਪਰ ਮਾਸ ਫਰੀ ਆਰ ਆਲਰੇਡੀ ਔਨ ਟਾਪ ਆਫ
ਇਟ
ਪਰ ਮਾਸ ਫਰੀ
ਕੋਈ ਬੰਦੇ ਦਾ ਪੁੱਤਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਿਹਾ
ਬੰਦੇ ਦਾ ਪੁੱਤਰ ਕਿੱਥੇ ਮੈਂ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੋਕੇ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਮੈਂ ਤੇ ਰਿਟਰਾਈ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤੀ ਮੈਂ ਉਹ ਕੁੜੀ ਨੂੰ ਰਿਕਾਰਡ ਵੀ ਕੀਤਾ ਐਕਚੁਅਲੀ ਜਦੋਂ ਮੈਂ ਖਰੀਦਣ ਗਿਆ ਨਾ ਤੇ ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ ਕੀ ਹੋ ਸਕਦਾ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਇੱਥੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਮਸਲੇ ਹੱਲ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਹੱਥ
ਸਾਰੇ ਹੱਲ ਕਰਦੇ ਇਹ ਉਹ ਲੋਕੀ ਦੇ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਇਹ ਜਿੰਦਾ ਸਾਡੇ ਮਸਲੇ ਹੱਲ ਕਰਦੇ ਨੇ ਅੱਲਾਹ ਤਾਲਾ ਕੋਈ
ਨੁਕਸਾਨ ਉਹ ਮਾਲ ਉਹ ਦਵਾਈ ਹੈਗੀ ਬੇਸਿਕਲੀ
ਦਵਾਈ ਨਹੀਂ ਇਟਸ ਮੋਰ ਮੈਚ
ਹੈਵ ਯੂ ਸੀਨ ਦੈਟ
Yeah, so as you could tell, she was not having it. But just to clarify again, we were all having a lot of fun. This was all, she could understand this was mostly in jest. Everybody was smiling and laughing about this whole CBD phenomena going on around the house during Eid. In general, it wasn't her cup of tea. I don't think my mom would ever try CBD, at least not in the near future. Anyway, let's go ahead and go back to Sabina. Culturally speaking, are there any instances, any stories that you know of people that benefited greatly from this or... You got some acceptance within the community, like any stories around?
I do. I mean, I think I want to first put out the whole parents and family concern and culturally concern because that was big. And it was like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? I was open with my parents. It took me a minute, but I told my mom. And at first, she was super against it. Super against it. I mean, like, apagalo, apiakoryo. You know, I didn't raise you to do this. Lo kya kenge, of course.
Yeah.
Everything goes back to lo kya kenge. And then slowly she began to accept it. But even then it was like, no, just for epilepsy ke liye and for cancer, this is okay. But, and then so my mom, funny story, is a homeopathic herself. Since I was young, I got these little white pills that she put tinctures on underneath my tongue. And here you go, Sabina, this is for this, this is for anxiety, this is for your stomach ache, this is if you have a sore throat.
Yeah, my dad too.
So she understands holistic medicine. Yeah. So then when I tried to approach it in that method, and I said, listen, mom, Ami, this is what they're doing with it now. And now they're making tinctures. Guess what? It goes underneath my tongue. I can put a drop under my tongue. So she is now more accepting of it. I would say she's still like not 100% there. My dad, I withheld from a while, especially occupation wise, because I was scared. But this year I finally told him as well, like what I really do. And they're okay with it. But as far as hiding it from the community, they still don't want me advertising to everybody what I do. I was pretty public with Dr. Cannabina. I had it open for a very long time. And I recently just made it private because I feel like I do want to respect my parents' wishes. And maybe it is offensive to some people, especially in my community. So I've had people tell my mom, you know, rishta ne milega usko, you know, tell her to slow, don't do this. Don't put the pictures up like that. It looks bad. And at the end of the day, to be honest, if the person who I'm supposed to be with is against this, then I probably don't want to be with them because I'm going to change who I am as a person and my goals in life. And I can't do that. And the person I'm meant to be with is going to respect cannabis as medicine and understand why I use it and what it's for and how it's helping people. And people are jumping on board. And slowly, I would say they're accepting it and other forms are coming out. So I think the biggest thing is the smoking part. which our culture hates, right? It's like, you know, why do you have to smoke? Gandhi Bawadia, right? Like, what is the smell? So they don't like that. So they're edibles now. There are tincture forms. There are patches. There are lotions. So many different forms I can use. And it nobody would be irritated by it, let's say. So I would say as of the last 2 months, they've accepted and they are more positive. For the longest time, my mom was like, nay, nay, nay. And then when I got a good job in the cannabis industry, something where it has like a medical marketing term in it, she was like, acha tika.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And it all came down to, oh, she can do this professionally now. And and this is real, right? Where before it was like, you're in a dispensary, you're just selling it. This is haram, you're still selling. And I'm like, ami, this is for medicine. This is patients. These are autism moms. These are cancer patients. These are people with pain getting off of opioids. So last Eid was my breakthrough with my mom because there was an auntie at the masjid and I approached her. I saw her son several times now and he's in a wheelchair and he's very young. And I didn't know what he had. I just knew he was like paraplegic and has like something to help him breathe and can't talk. So I said, you know, auntie, do you know what cannabis is? Do you know what CBD is or THC or cannabis is medicine for your son? I want to, you know, educate you on that if no one's talked to you about it. And her eyes lit up and she was like, wow, of course. She's like, yes, I do. I've been researching it for about a year now and last 2 years. And my son actually is approved for the FDA approved cannabis drug and his insurance pays for it. So he has reduced his medication, has a significant improvement since he started it. So I said, you know what, auntie, I wish you would talk to my mom and tell my mom this because these are the things she needs to hear. So my mom, sure enough, you know, came by and the first thing she said was, you know what your daughter is doing is amazing. Please let her continue to do it because it's helping my son and I want it to help other people. Absolutely, Sabina, you can use me as an example. As cannabis, as medicine for Muslims. So I hope to interview her and maybe even get pictures or if she lets me have permission to do so and get more details about her story exactly. But that just recently happened and it made me really happy.
I mean, and word is going around, you're right. And it's going around in a positive way. Like, for example, my wife, one of her friends is a therapist, a counselor, right? And so she's like professionally educated to do this. And she says she recommends to her clients CBD and she takes it herself. So this was just about me as a casual, I'm not a user or anything yet, but just a regular person, regular citizen, right? I haven't even proactively researched this until recently. But within the last 5-6 months, I've been hearing so much about this stuff. And from an educated point of view, not like, hey, let's just get high.
Right.
So with time, I'm starting to see what the benefits of this could be. Personally, I just started taking it 2 days ago. I haven't noticed anything yet.
So let me ask you, do you have a, I'm assuming you have a hemp-derived CBD because there's a difference between hemp and cannabis-derived CBD as well.
Let me get it. Hold on one sec. Let me find it.
If you bought it at a public place, it's most likely hemp-derived. So hemp, it has passed, the law has passed, so it's legal. So you can get that. But then there is cannabis-derived CBD, which is usually produced in a cannabis facility.
Got it. So hemp is a different plant from cannabis, right?
Correct. Well, they're the same family, and they're very similar, but they function different, they cultivate different, and their applications are different. So they both have medicinal value. But THC or cannabis has more of a medicinal value and their percentages, like, so hemp is 0.3% THC. That's it.
Yeah.
0.3. And then cannabis is like anywhere between 5 and like 35% nowadays THC, which is really, really high. The average consumer is about like 15 to 20%, I would say. And then people that need more medicinal effects might have the higher potent strains. So hemp can be used to make plastic and paper and clothing and even like the automotive industry where cannabis is not used for that. It's used for medicine and recreational purposes. I guess that's how I explain hemp and cannabis.
Yeah.
And they're grown differently. Like cannabis can be grown indoor and outdoor and very controlled where hemp is not so controlled and grown outdoor.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, so here's the thing. The one that I have right now, it has 0% THC. So it's all CBD. There's no THC in this one at all.
So it's all hemp. So it doesn't even have 0.3%, which is so. So yeah. The medicinal values are still there, just not as high as it would be if it was cannabis-derived CBD.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I have, for example, I have anxiety issues. That's what I would be interested in this product for. So, you know, I'm guessing like if I take it regularly, I should notice some type of effect. Or maybe I'm not taking enough.
With CBD, you have to titrate up. And then there are certain amounts. For anxiety, it can be anywhere from like 2 milligrams to 25 milligrams a day, or a dose, not even a day. And they say to take it 3 times a day, sometimes 2 times a day, but 2-3 times, morning, afternoon, evening. And then you're gonna start low and then make your way up to a dose where you feel or see a difference. And then kind of stay there. And every day that's your daily dose. And it's more like a vitamin per se. Like you could say almost like you're taking your vitamin D supplement. Let's say you have a deficiency in your body and you need vitamin D every day or once a week in a pill form. This is kind of like that. So you're not going to feel the effect right away. It's almost like long term or, hey, you know what? I don't feel so much anxiety nowadays. And I'm wondering if the CBD is helping me or I'm able to sleep at night every day. I'm wondering if the CBD helps me relax. So it's something that you do have to, like, almost like melatonin.
Yeah.
Build up to take and then stay at that level and continue to take. And if you need to increase, you increase as you go based on symptoms or ailment.
Got it. Yeah. So you build it up in your body. That makes sense. Yeah. Because I was afraid of, I wanted to make sure that there's no side effects or anything like that. I didn't feel anything at all. So I think I'm good to ramp up on this.
But
right now I started on a minimal dose.
Warning to some people. Side effect. You said side effect. Could cause heavy relaxation or relaxation for some. But the only side effect possibly is what it's used with. Now, let's say you have an oil and it's made with MCT or coconut oil. Some people are allergic to the MCT oil and that can cause them some GI issues. So that is what I would be cautious of if any advice to people.
So GI issues, I'm guessing, should be pretty like minor in nature. I'm not thinking anybody's going to die over this, right?
No. Just like if you were to have like a lactose intolerance, almost something similar to that.
Right. Makes sense. And the other thing is like these. So I got the tiniest bottle they had, which has about, I think, a month's worth of servings. And this thing was like $45.
Oh, wow.
And these were not cheap.
You got ripped off, sir. I'm sorry.
Really? Yeah. No, it's possible. Yeah. Right.
But every state varies and CBD is expensive.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's a craze right now. They can charge whatever they want and people are going to buy it depending on how they pitch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly right. It's all over the place. Now, when you call it a craze, right, it has like it gives me like this negative vibe about it. Like oftentimes when people say there's a fad or there's a craze, right, it sounds like it's basically something that's not as good as people think it is. Is that the impression that you have of it, or do you think it is actually that good?
No, I think it's valuable. It's just like I said, you have to be careful. People are not going to be making it correctly. They're going to put like 5% in the whole bottle, and it just says CBD gummy, and you're thinking you're getting your dose in, and you're just getting something that's not even affect you. That's what I mean. And then there's benefits for everything, and there's always research that's needed. It's still beginning in that term. So we want to make sure that the right age group is getting it and they're getting the right amount, just like vitamins. Like I said, we go back to that example. They're kid vitamins and they're adult vitamins. Yeah. So different dosing for different people, different kinds that we have to, you know, we have to make gluten-free and then we have to make it without dyes and GMO-free and certain people will be able to take it in different methods. So once they perfect it, I would be more comfortable with people once they're more educated, I guess.
Yeah, right. And I wish there was, I'm not sure if there is, maybe you know of one, maybe there's a resource that we could use to find like trusted brands or trusted, I'm guessing it's so young right now that such a control doesn't exist right now.
Yeah.
It's basically any company, any person that just gets up and opens a CBD shop.
Yeah. And you can go to the licensed one. So if you have a medical card, that's your safest way to get it.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So have you traveled to Pakistan recently?
Not recently. I've went once in my life and I was 6 years old. The only time I went. I do hope to take my mom. It's one of my goals to take her to Pakistan and then to Hajj.
Yeah.
Inshallah, one day.
Yeah, for sure.
I spoke Urdu growing up and Punjabi and Urdu, the Hindi. They like mixed, my parents mixed all of it. So I was that child that was kind of confused. Like, I thought that was, you know, I would say a word and people would be like, what is she saying? And I'm like, oh, that's the Punjabi word for that. Oops. But I understood it. And then when I went to Pakistan, we were like forced to speak it. And I stayed there for 4 months. So when I came back, I didn't know how to speak English again. It was really weird. Like, I was only speaking Urdu.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the same thing happened to me. But you were only six, right?
I was only six. But I mean, you still remember it. My mom speaks to me in Urdu and then I talk English.
Wow.
Huh. Pretty much. But I mean, I can speak it. I have nannies and daddies that still speak to me in popos and kalas. So yeah, I can. I don't use it as much as I should, but I do listen to the music and culture is close to my heart. I wouldn't say I'm a fob, but I would say I'm a happy medium. Like I definitely have my Bollywood playlist, and out of my family, probably the most culturally connected to the music and the Pakistani side of food and music. Holidays are holidays, you know, big for that. Clothing when it's our holiday and when I go to event. And I do like to one day promote cannabis more in the Pakistani culture or even in the Muslim world. So soon enough.
Right.
I think I'm making my move with that.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to ask. You know, you have some success stories. You see people benefiting from this so much. And I wanted to see if you could scale that up or scale that across the country.
I'm working on a platform. I just need the permission. And then I want to start making like pamphlets and have like a PowerPoint or go to mosques or something, right? Whether that's the moms or the lajna or just the female side. And then, you know, they get one guy and one female from each mosque and hey, this is the information. This is what really cannabis is doing for people as medicine. And this is what the Quran says. And this is how I interpret it or how I think we can interpret it, especially if we're already using medicine in forms that are altering or intoxicating these kids to begin with. This one is non-harmful to your body, to your organs even. It's not harming the organs. It's not harming the body and it can't kill you. The only time it's killed somebody is this crazy vape phase that is going on because somebody, you know, had some fake non-tested stuff and it was harmful to the body. So that's going to happen, but that wasn't the actual plant's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because my brother's vape actually without CBD, but I've heard that there were quite a few accidents that happened in the last few weeks with people trying to put CBD or THC inside the vape somehow, like with custom oils. And
yeah, see, that goes back to not being educated.
That's bringing a lot of bad publicity. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's pretty bad for both the vaping industry and the CBD industry.
Yeah, and the cannabis industry and all of it.
Yeah, pretty much all of it. Yeah, right. So there's a lot of misunderstandings going around. With Pakistan, I think, you know, Pakistan's going to be an interesting market because, I mean, everything is illegal there, from my understanding, but everything is done, too.
It's so funny to me because it's all grown there. It's been grown there for years. It's from the mountains of Afghanistan.
People grow it in their front yards, openly.
In Pakistan, like I have seeds, I have people that cultivate and tell me I got my seeds from Jalalabad, Afghanistan. Like my seeds are from Pakistan. It's called Pakistani Kush. I'm not joking. Some of these strains, like Hindu Kush, and if I've used them, I've noticed that my body takes to these strains even more. And I'm wondering if it's because it comes from the region of what my culture is, if that has any effect on my body. And I'd love to see a study on something like that.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. right. And not only that, people just grow it, I think, everywhere. That's what my mom says. Like, people just have it in their backyard. Like, a lot of people don't even realize that it's growing in their backyard. Like, they think it's just a regular plant. And then, charas, like you kind of mentioned, the issue is if you start going mosque to mosque and trying to promote it openly, especially as a woman, suddenly there will be problems. And that's the issue that we face at this point in time, where it's a safety issue, honestly. It's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue, and then it's an industry issue. Like, how many doctors do we have in our industry that don't want to accept this? Like, oh, you're taking away from my pharmaceutical, which I am, and I'm sorry, but guess what? This is helping more significant in my eyes, it is, and I'm seeing it help, and it's not harming So what's wrong with this? And so I need more imams on board. I need more people of authority of the mosques on board. And I need to be openly able to have a PowerPoint slide and even maybe demonstrate, not demonstrate per se, but have an example of a patient, whether that's a patient for anxiety, insomnia, pain, fibromyalgia. Like, there are simple diseases and there's complicated diseases, and it's helping a wide range. So if this is a plant and it's natural and Allah, God, put this on earth for us in a controlled way with the right dose in the right form, I think that this is definitely medicine.
Wow. Yeah. You know, cannabis, I think it would fall into the realm of alternative medicine.
It is. It's homeopathic. It's absolutely homeopathic.
Yeah. But the thing is, there, especially in America, you're probably familiar with this, right? I think the medical and the pharmaceutical industry has a strong push to kind of eliminate any alternative medicine.
Natural path. Exactly.
Yeah. Forget about, like, anything that's not prescriptions, basically, anything that doesn't generate revenue, which creates a lot of skepticism of that industry as a whole. But yeah, like, for example, they've discarded chiropractors. You know, chiropractors can't do anything. They can't fix anything. Whether that's true or not, I'm not sure. And similarly for homeopathic. So I wanted to see what your thoughts are on that. Like, people actually say homeopathic drugs don't do anything. Like, it's just placebo. It does nothing.
No, I don't think of it as a placebo. I have specific examples. I would say there was a point in my life where I was like, I don't know if this works. It just gives me everything. Right. But I would take it. My mom always says two things. You have to believe in it, and then you have to take it correctly. So there's a correct way to take homeopathic medicine, and most people are not educated in it. So people don't use the right dose, and or they don't put it underneath the tongue. And it's like you have to wait prior to eating or sometime after eating as well. And then there's different potencies, and you know, take once a week or take once every 2 weeks, depending on the drug and what you're using it for. So I had an eye twitch during medical school one time. I was studying for my board exam and it would not go away. 3 weeks, my eye twitched every single day. So Ami was like, she made me a little kit, had everything in it, like probably 15 different kinds. And some of them are used for multiple things. So she was like, take Lycopodium. I was like, okay, Ami, I'll try it. So I took Lycopodium, and that same night and the next day, my eye twitch was gone. And since then, I was a believer. But she gives me Arnica for pain, or Neswamica for stomach ache. So I'm familiar with some of them. And then I have a kit, like a multivitamin one. And I even have one for, like, you might think this is silly, but like end of the world. Like, there's an anti... It gives you the poison form of it, but in minute doses. So if something were to happen, like a nuclear attack, radon, I think it's radon or rodon, radon, something like that, then it would protect you. So I was advised to take this medicine, because once you take it, it protects you going forward. And that one's about 2 months worth of doses that you have to follow, like take medicine A, then take medicine B, then go back to take medicine A. And then for different age groups, there are different potencies.
Wait, describe that again. It would protect you from the end of the world, or like how would that work?
Nuclear disruption, or let's say someone had an atomic bomb or some type of bomb. And
So like a radioactive,
radioactive. That's exactly what it's against.
I see.
That's the one I was the most intrigued by. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
And I have it.
Right. I thought it was going to be a coping drug. You know how like some people say they take Xanax and they feel like they can get shot and not feel like worried at all.
Oh, so they have daily ones and then they have preventative ones. So this would be something that's preventative. And then there's daily ones that you can take for, like, sometimes my mom's like, you know, knocks on my door, open your mouth. I'm like, Ami, what is this for? And then she tells me later, but I'm like, I don't even know why she's giving it to me sometimes. I just listen and I take it.
Yeah.
And it's little things that we've been using for years, even like now. And like I said, there's crazes or there's phases, like turmeric all of a sudden. Yeah. And we've been using turmeric for years. And all of a sudden
all
it's like
lives,
face masks, or people are putting their drinks. Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, we've been on that for quite some time now.
Awesome. Well, that's all I pretty much had, Sabina, unless you have something else to share.
No, I think I just want people to understand that cannabis is medicine and not to judge it. Really, at the end of the day, I don't think it's haram. If I were to interpret it in the Quran as an intoxicant, I think something that's an intoxicant is toxic. Toxic means it can kill you. And I don't think that cannabis does that. So in my eyes, it's medicine. I need more Muslims and Pakistanis to understand that. And Pakistan to jump on board. Why are we not? You guys are growing it there. So start giving it to these kids that are needing it. Start giving it to the patients that need it there. I know it can help them. Well, I need all 50 states to be on board before Pakistan's going to be on board, that's for sure.
That's the thing. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for your time and thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
That was the end of our chat with Sabina. And once again, you can follow her on Instagram at Dr. Cannabina. So that's spelled D-R-C-A-N-N-A-B-I-N-A, Dr. Cannabina. Sabina also left some good resources for us to share with you guys in case you're interested in researching CBD and cannabis a bit more. There's quite a few of these resources. You can follow these websites, greenflowermedia.com, healer.com, leafly.com, and you can also follow these Instagram pages, Sagely Naturals and Hemsley Health. Now, of course, I don't expect you to know the full spellings of these, so we will add these resources into the description of this episode. So go ahead and follow them using that information, and happy researching. Take care.